Join the conversation. Join the conversation. You're with Cape Talk.
We're actually talking about handwriting analysis, and I'll introduce our guest in a second. But first, a follow-up on the calligraphy conversation earlier. A WhatsApp saying, in 1959, our Standard 6 teacher, who was the most wonderfully dedicated teacher I've come across, arranged a competition between the various schools in Natal. And I'm proud to say that our school won first prize in that calligraphy competition. Thanks for that. In case you're wondering about the reference, earlier we heard from a guest whose beautiful handwriting has made him a professional living, as well as winning him artistic recognition all over the world as a beach calligrapher. Very, very unusual story. But right now, I want to contemplate what the rest of us mere mortals are giving away when we put our pen to paper. Because did you know that the style and shape and size of your writing could perhaps give away a whole lot about your personality and your typical behaviours? I'm delighted to welcome to the show a graphologist to tell us about what she does and what clues we might be giving away about ourselves when we do jot down the lines. I know some people don't take this very seriously. Others think there is a lot to it. I'll ask you, wherever you sit on that spectrum, to listen with interest and hear what our guest has to tell us about what she is looking for and who is hiring her to do the looking. That's what really intrigues me. Her name is Lynn Muller. She has a background in social science and human relations, and she also works as a counsellor for the SA Depression and Anxiety Group. And Lynn, good afternoon to you. What makes me curious about that description is that it suggests you are a people person, that you are all about engaging with people and interpersonal skills. How does somebody like that end up analysing handwriting? Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Pippa. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, I am definitely a people's person, and my social science degree led me to industrial psychology, but later down the line I decided that people were more my thing, and helping people in distress at SADAG just made me realize how our personalities are shaped by what happens in our lives. And I discovered graphology, which is a very good indicator of your personality and your mood. So I did a graphology course,
The
3-year course, and I'm now helping people either individually or couples or personality profiling for marriage compatibility, business compatibility, career guidance. There are just so many different ways we can use handwriting to analyze different aspects of our lives.
The one thing you haven't mentioned is the criminal application thereof, Lynn. It's something we've seen on television in shows like CSI, where somebody looks at the ransom note and says, aha, I can see from the handwriting that this person grew up in the lower boroughs of New York and is 35 years old. It doesn't work like that in practice, but is this something that is used in criminal applications?
I think it's more signature that is used for forensic purposes, and not personality profiling. It is more an individual requirement or request as opposed to for forensic purposes. I know that a signature that is analysed and that is used in criminal cases and in courts, but graphology itself as personal profiling is it just shows the individual's development in certain areas of their life.
Lynn, how seriously is this work taken? I know that there are some who will write it off entirely as pseudoscience. There are others who believe that it is absolutely on the nail. And I've heard of people who've done sort of anonymous samples and said, gosh, the person absolutely nailed the identity of the person who wrote that sample. How do you deal with that? Are you taken seriously in the field?
Yeah, no, we do hear that it's pseudoscience, that it's palm reading. People don't take it seriously. It is used very widely in France and overseas, but in South Africa, not so much. It is based on, if you have to ask someone to do a handwriting analysis and give them feedback, they will more than likely tell you that's exactly who they are. I find it such a good judge of personality. But, you know, if you actually look at someone's personality and how they write, there are so many features that you can pick up about them just from pressure, from speed, from the largeness of the writing, if they left slant or right slant or lower upper zones, there's just so much that you can pick up, and it is such a good judge of character.
Okay, so let's talk in a little bit more detail about what you're looking at and what you think that can tell you. Lynn, you've mentioned some of the aspects like the pressure, the size, the slant of the writing. Let's start with something as obvious as the size. Some people form quite large letters. Some people have got tiny little handwriting that sits well between the spaces of the lined paper. What do you think that indicates about somebody's personality?
So if you've got a large, bold handwriting, that we call it the middle zone, which is your A's, your E's, your O's. If that is large and gregarious and bold, you're looking at a person that's a people's person, an extrovert, someone like a marketing manager or an events coordinator, someone who's out there and confident or shows confidence. A person with small writing, if you're looking at, say, a person with left slant, tiny angular writing, that's more an introverted person, more job orientated, skills orientated, not a people's person. The space between your writing is also very indicative of how you relate to other people. If you have large spaces between your words, you're keeping people at a distance. Some people overcrowd you and their words are on top of each other. So, that's also very indicative of who you are as a person. If you're keeping people at bay or you're very needy, pressure is very, very important. You can see anger, anxiety, frustration, so much just from the pressure of the handwriting. And that is why it's so important to have an original copy of the handwriting so that you can analyze the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, that suggests that people's writing might change as their life experiences change or their particular state of mind changes. The fact that you say you need an original sample to compare against what you're dealing with right now. Does handwriting change significantly over time?
No, you can change your handwriting, but it never ever... You will always go back to your copybook, which is your original method of writing, and your own style of writing. For example, if your handwriting is right slant and you try and write left slant, it's very difficult to change that because that is your original copybook, your own style of writing. You'll find that teenagers use very ornamental writing to express themselves, like the ornamental A's and the circled I dots. But as you grow older, you will revert to your original copybook. So if you write slant, you're always going to be right slant. You'll never change that. The pressure might change. There's certain aspects that are based on mood that will change. For example, if you are under pressure or your anxiety, you might find jerkiness in handwriting. Or depending on if you're angry, your pressure will be different to if you... going through a depressed state of mind. But your original writing, your original style of writing does not change.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest is Lynn Miller, who is a graphologist on the line to us from Johannesburg, speaking about her work analysing people's handwriting and what it can potentially suggest about their personality traits. Lynn, in an age in which... more and more of us are writing less and less by hand and typing more and more. Does that make your work harder? Does it make it more difficult to do an analysis, or does it change anything about the way you practice?
It's just really saddens me because you're right. In our techno society, we're hardly using handwriting, and it actually stunts our creativity. And children that don't have the ability or they're not writing all the time, they are not expressing themselves through their handwriting, which is actually expressing their creativity. Yes, it does make graphology less plausible, especially for teenagers and adolescents. And it's actually quite sad because they don't express themselves and their individual style of handwriting because we're not using handwriting anymore.
Lynn, the million-dollar question, why do all the doctors write so badly? What is it about that particular career or the personalities that attracts such abysmal handwriting?
Yeah, the proverbial doctor's handwriting. you know, often it's, in some instances, it's impatience, it's stress, it's just time constraints. Other people, for example, if you look at someone who writes perfectly, their handwriting is more concerning than your proverbial doctor's handwriting, which is scratches and squiggles and angles. That is more real than a controlled, repressed, guarded handwriting. So I think a lot of it has to do with time constraints, stress. But for example, you'll find a scientist or a doctor's handwriting is very angular. And that is indicative of his mental state of mind, clever connections. So basically you're looking at a very bright person, and you can see that just from their handwriting, the angles, the speed, the clever connections. So it's not really an ugly handwriting. It's more to do with where their skills lie in the upper zone or lower zone, or the medical people or scientific people, as opposed to your Garland marketing, outgoing extrovert.
Okay, Lynn, what about you've mentioned the teenagers and the tendency towards the sort of flamboyant, ornamental expression of the hearts over the eyes and you know, part of the growing up process. As we get older, what does it say about us, how we literally dot our I's and cross our T's? Does that give any sort of indication to you as a graphologist?
Yeah, I'd say if an adult is still doing circular dots and flamboyant ornamental writing, it might be a sign of immaturity. I think when you reach an adult stage, you shouldn't be doing that anymore unless you in an artistic creative field. So it should be, you've reached an age of maturity where your writing is going to be consistent and not ornamental.
Okay. We've got, I'm absolutely loving this. We've got a doctor on the line who wants to comment or ask a question about bad handwriting. Dr. Colin de la Hoff, lovely to hear from you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I've got bad handwriting.
Have you always had bad handwriting, or did it come on after your medical studies?
No, and I think I've just missed a little bit of your conversation there, but I think you might have actually just touched on the point. And my point is that if somebody goes to live in America when they're 5 years old, within a very short period of time, they'll pick up an American accent. Later, if you go to America in your 50s, you'll go there and you'll sound South African for the rest of your life. And my theory is that accent that you're going to develop it kind of sets in your brain in your early 20s. There's a process of maturation of the brain where whatever accent you've got, you're now going to live with for the rest of your life. And it just so happens that at the self same time as that's happening for language accents, we as doctors are busy writing lecture notes at 700 kilometers an hour. And I think it's a cruel trick of nature that what happens is that while we're writing 700 kilometers an hour, our brain kind of sets the accent of our handwriting, and we live with horrible handwriting for the rest of our life.
I really like that interpretation. Lynn, what do you think of it?
Yes, I agree. I think that's 100% on the mark.
I'm smiling, of course, because I am somebody who went to live in America as a child and learned to read and write with a Texan accent. And the result was such a horrible hodgepodge of accents when I then moved back to East London that I literally had to have speech lessons to teach me how to speak in something that was intelligible to the layman. So I can relate to Colin's comments that, you know, what gets set in the brain in particular key learning phases stays with you for life, or has to be very aggressively trained out of you, for lack of a better word. Lynn, this is a very interesting comment on the WhatsApp line from Lisa in Constantia. She said, I had my late partner's handwriting analysed as a surprise 40th birthday present, and the report was long, detailed, and and so accurate it gave us goosebumps and made us laugh too. Utterly fascinating that without even meeting him, from about half a page of handwriting, she had his personality and quirks down to a T. How much do you need to work off, Lynn? If somebody wants to have an analysis done, do you need pages of it or a couple of sentences will do?
A page on no line, so it's a blank page, and then a signature at the end. And also, it mustn't be copied. So, for example, if you're copying someone's writing, it disturbs the flow of your own natural handwriting. So a page on a blank page of handwriting is perfect, and the content of the writing isn't looked at. So it doesn't matter what you're writing. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the style and so on.
Okay, so you could be listing the birds you saw on your last trip to the Kruger Park and it wouldn't matter as long as you've got a big enough sample for you to look at. Lynn, it's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Take care. Lynn Muller on the line to us from Johannesburg, a graphologist, somebody who studies people's handwriting. Some of you clearly are believers, some of you are not, but it is intriguing to read Lisa's comment about how incredibly accurate the assessment was that she had done. That's quite a nifty trick of an unusual birthday present. I have to credit you for that one, Lisa. Thanks for your WhatsApp.